Welcome to Sabbath Services. Today we are going to cover some things. Will there be a one world religion? And how is it going to come about? Let's go back to the book of Revelation. So we'll go back there first. And let's begin in Revelation 13. The first half of Revelation 13 is talking about the beast that is the civil government. Well, they all know you must have religion in order to control the masses. And that's one of the reasons why, with all of the nonsense of the religions of this world, which they all are, I mean, even Protestantism, when you come to it, is really a form of, I don't know how you would call it, I wouldn't quite call it insanity, but it is a form of self-willedness to have Jesus and your salvation your way rather than the way of the Bible. All the rest of the religions of the world are condemned throughout the Word of God, as we're going to see. So the question is, how are they going to get all religions to come together? And the question becomes, how are you going to get these hard-headed Christians and even some Sunday keepers now? We'll have to stand up for some Sunday keepers. They do have some principles and things like that. And we'll talk about that a little later. And how are you going to get those wild Muslims to calm down and be able to amalgamate with other religions? And if it's going to be the one who is the Pope, because he is the master of the Babylonian religions, how are you going to get all the religions of the world to come together and agree to follow the Pope? Now, they're not going to submit to his authority, okay? Before we get into Revelation 13, let's go to Revelation 17 here for just a minute. Because again, here we have two parts of it. Revelation 13, we start out with the world government, the civil government, and then we have the false prophet. So we'll get back to that in just a minute. But here in Revelation 17, we start out with Babylon the Great religion. Okay? So let's read it right here in verse 1, Revelation 17. And one of the seven angels who had the seven vials came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here. I will show you the judgment of the great whore who sits upon many waters." Okay, now we know that that is a woman is a type of the church, so the whore then is daughter Babylon the Great, Isaiah 47. All right? Now, come over here to verse 15, and we have the interpretation of the many waters. Then he said to me, "The waters that you saw where the whore sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages." Then it talks about the ten whores. The ten horns. Sorry about that, a little Freudian slip, but you know how that goes. Okay, and since this is the Sabbath services video is not edited, you get it all raw, so you'll have to take it from there. Okay, now notice how they're always in consort with the kings of the earth, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and that means that they have rejected the rule of God in their governments. And those who dwell on the earth, see, and the key thing is when you read Revelation, always remember this. This is talking about worldwide events. And this is why it is very difficult to understand these things going back even 75 years ago. They could understand more than they did 200 years before that, or 500 years before that. And certainly when you go back to the time that the New Testament was canonized, it was hard to conceive that this would be the whole world rather than the whole Roman Empire, which was counted as the habitable world. See, but you go through Revelation and read it, and you see all the world, all people, all tongues, all nations see. So this is a worldwide event, and it wasn't meant to be understood to the end time when those things would become more apparent like they are today. Verse 3, then he carried me away in the spirit to a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast, having seven heads and ten horns, full of names of blasphemy. Well, it's very interesting. There are two things concerning the world order and Europe. Number one, how many have ever seen the ad by IBM where they take the artist rendition of where the Tower of Babel, they left off building it? And IBM has an ad which says, what they started, we will finish. And also, the European Union Parliament building in Brussels, and if you talk about the government of Belgium, they've had 2 years without a government. Amazing. They're still getting along, but whatever. Okay. They built it in such a way, it's a round building, but it was patterned after the Tower of Babel, and they left certain parts of the building to conform to the old picture of the semi-destroyed Tower of Babylon. Out front, they have a bull, and a bull pictures Zeus, and a woman riding it, whose name is Europa, or Europe. Now, a lot of people have thought that the daughters of this Babylonian system, which is centered today in Rome, were the Protestants. But that is not correct. That's only part of the story. Because all you have to do is get any book on the great religions of the world, and Time put out a huge series on that in a big book, pictures and everything. The six religions of the world, the six main ones. And they all came out of ancient Babylon or a more modern day version of Babylon, but they all came out of Babylon. Now let's come down here to verse 3. Then he carried me away in the spirit to a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast, having seven heads and ten horns, full of the name of blasphemy. Well, scarlet color goes along with that, along also with the Catholic Church, and so does the color red. And many people don't know it, but the Pope, when he's buried, is buried in a Santa Claus suit. Yes, because he is St. Nicholas. Yes, do a little Google search and look up the death of the last three popes, and you will find when you get to the picture of their burial, he's in a Santa Claus suit. A lot of people don't know that. And it's red. Now, scarlet, what is the redness of scarlet? Yeah, a bright red, maybe. Scarlet. Velvet. No, that's not it.
No.
Okay.
In other words, you have your blue side and your warm side of red.
Yeah.
And scarlet.
Okay. Scarlet is the high end, so that's the brightness of the color. But that's also symbolic that it got its power by killing people. So there are many symbolic things in here. Okay. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet. So you have scarlet with the beast. You have purple and scarlet with the woman sitting on her. And was adorned with gold and pearls and precious stones, and she had a golden cup in her hands filled with abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And across her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great. Now, mystery means secret. And today, that is surely true. Most of the people of the world do not know the origin of the Roman Catholic Church, which came from ancient Babylon. Now, let me just give you a little historical fact here. The king of Pergamos and the kingdom of Pergamos inherited the whole system from Babylon. And remember, it talks about the church at Pergamos where Satan's throne is. Now, there was a tremendous altar there built to Zeus. Tremendous temple, tremendous altar. And of course, who is the successor of Zeus? Well, the successor of Zeus is going to be the beast of Revelation 13. Let me tell you another little known fact. That altar, I think it was the Germans took that, and they have it in a museum in Germany. Also, before the last king of Pergamos died, he willed everything to the Roman Empire. So they were the legal inheritors of the system of Satan the devil in Pergamos. Now let's leap forward to Adolf Hitler. Most people don't know it, but the big Colosseum that he had there in Nuremberg, where he spoke, was made to be a replica of the altar of Zeus. So if you've never seen the Third Reich and the occult, you better watch it. That'll be an eye-opener. Now, we also have to understand that the Catholic system is a cult. Buddhism is a cult. Occult, not a cult, but occult, O-C-C-U-L-T. Occult means coming from Satan the devil. So is Buddhism. So is Islam. Rome is. And the Protestants are not wholly locked up into the system. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Okay? She's called Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and the abominations of the earth. Now, that is all-inclusive. That means all of the gods and religions and abominations there, too. Now, let's come back here to Revelation 13. What is it going to take to have all people follow this system? Now, let me just mention, watch for a reformation within the Catholic Church. It's not going to be like it was during the Middle Ages. It's not going to be like it was up until the time of the so-called ecumenical movement of John the 23rd. It is going to be modernized. Exactly how that will turn out, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But I'll just put a little input here, something to think about and something to watch. According to Catholic prophecies, the pope that is now there is the next to the last pope. Now, their prophecies also say that the last pope is going to call himself Peter. How that'll work out, we don't know. Now, just suppose he doesn't call himself Peter, and just suppose that he dies. Now, the Catholic Church is stuck with a problem. Their prophecy failed. Have you heard of that? You know, like 1975 in prophecy, return of Christ in 1844, 1918, 1988, 1989, 93, 97, and we have the latest one here, Harold Camping, you know, 2011, May 21st. And it's also interesting that he had a stroke and lost his ability to speak. Even some of the Protestants being mad at him say that this may be judgment from God because he didn't speak the truth. Well, before he lost his ability to speak, he said, hold on, I was only 6 months off. It's going to be October 21st. The day after the last great day. See, all of the, as we'll find out, none of the so-called Christian religions of the world understand the Bible enough to even know the signs of the times or even when we get close to it, of the return of Christ. But every one of these failures does what? It makes people reject so-called Christianity and serves a vital purpose for Satan the devil, right? It breaks down the moral fiber of those churches in following Christ as much as they have been. I mean, you go back Protestantism, the beginning of it, back there, especially in England. Why? They believed very seriously in everything except they accepted the Catholic change of the Sabbath to Sunday. Now, since God is no respecter of persons, when they did those things that were right, they were blessed. But what has happened to them step by step by step by step for the last 400 and some odd years? Now, we're going to see a little later today, they are making one more gigantic leap toward a world religion. And these are the ones they have to deal with. Then you have to deal with the Catholics. So maybe if that last pope dies and the world has not come to an end, what do you have to do? What happened within the Church of God when 1972, 1975 failed? Well, we had to reinvent ourselves, right? Rather than looking at the Bible, some did, some did not. They just reinvented themselves. Just like Harold Camping's going to have to reinvent himself now after May 21st and October 21st, well, the Catholics are going to have to reinvent themselves too. So how are they going to do it? How are they going to be accepted in the world? And how are they going to have an affirmation to make it look like that this is the real thing from God? And the purpose of God to bring all religions together in association, not under the authority of the Pope, but acquiescing to some of his authority as the leader of the world's religion. Okay? How do you do that? What is the simplest way to do that? And to get all people in the world to believe it, see? What is the simplest way to do it? Especially with our high tech and, you know, all things that we have where people can see it happen? Let's read it here. Let's pick it up in verse 11. And I saw another beast rising out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. Okay? Now, what do we have up here concerning the beast power? They both derive their authority from the dragon. Now, just hold your place right here at verse 11. Go up to verse 2. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard, and his feet like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and his great authority. They are both empowered by Satan the devil because he is the great dragon, correct? Yes. Verse 2, as we've mentioned before, shows that the world government system is going to be an amalgamation of the types of the civilizations of the past. And there will be Satan worship, verse 4. And they worship the dragon who gave his authority to the beast. All right. Now, the woman is going to ride the beast. In other words, she gets her support from the political power. The beast is not riding the woman. That would be interesting to draw, wouldn't it? Okay. Now notice what happens here. And he exercises all authority of the first beast before him. All right? What is all of his authority? Come back here to verse 7. And he was given power to make war against the saints and overcome them. And he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. Okay? And he exercises, now back to verse 12, all the authority of the first beast before him. And he causes the earth and those who dwell therein to worship the first beast, who is the personification of Satan, whose deadly wound was healed. And he performs great wonders. That's how they're going to convince the people. So that he even causes fire to come down to the earth from heaven in the sight of men. Now, with our technology today, is everybody going to be able to see that? Since we're all judging things on an emotional basis today, I mean, look what happened. I think the best explanation that I heard of the Casey Anthony case was this. There were two trials. The courtroom and the judge and jury and what went on there. And the video presentation where everyone had all of their opinions running all of the time. And if you didn't see the entire closing by the defense attorney to close how he refuted all the arguments of the prosecution, you will never understand why it came out as not guilty, even though her daughter died. And it shows the weakness of the rule of law, and it shows the overreach of the prosecutor by asking for the death penalty, which requires such a high standard. See? But what happens? What happens? I bring this out from this point of view. People today make all their decisions in the main based upon feelings and emotions rather than looking at the law. In this case, people of the world being deceived and following the beast power are going to follow their emotions rather than the word of God. Would you not conclude that's correct? And the word of God then is the rule of law. Is that not true? Yes, we'll see that concerning how to detect false prophets and things like this. Verse 14, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by the means of the wonders that were given him to perform in the sight of the beast. So what is the saying going to be? Miracles, undeniable miracles are going to take place. And when they see, and they will see that recorded on television, this will go around the world. Fire called down from heaven. You're going to have experts there, scientists verifying that, yes, this was a miracle. This was fire that came down from heaven. See, because there are a lot of people who say, well, these things in Revelation are going to be fulfilled by, what do they call these, holographic video projections, see? No, it isn't going to be that, because that's going to be the first question that's going to be asked, right? Was this real or was this holographic? Did it take place or did it not? What if he heals a lot of people? What's the press going to do? Go around and say, what was your condition before you were healed? What is your condition now? So the whole world's going to believe it because seeing is believing. So that's how they're going to believe it. Okay? Then, told them to make an image for the beast so you have idolatry get involved. Okay? Now, let's come back here to Revelation 16 and verse 13. So I want to ask a question as we're turning there, which is this. In order for it to be true in the Bible, how many times does God have to mention it? Just once. Okay? Now, for all of those who are opposed to the Sabbath, you better think it over, because God just doesn't mention it once. The whole Bible is filled with about keeping the Sabbath and worshiping the true God. Okay? Now come down here to verse 13. Then I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. We have the prophecy of Revelation 13 and 17. Now we have him named the false prophet. Come over here to Revelation 19. Let's see his demise. Verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet who worked the miracles in his presence, by which he had deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped the image. These two were cast alive in the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. So what do we have? Four mentions, two of them explaining what the false prophet is, and only two scriptures naming him as the false prophet. And that's going to have a great impact on the whole world. Okay? Now, how many have heard, so if you're on the internet, or the World Wide Web, as they like to call it now, okay, look up the Parliament of World Religions. And also look up United Religions, which is headquartered right here in San Francisco. And I've got a book, I don't have it at home or with me, but the book shows what they're leading to with amalgamating all religions, because that's what these two organizations are looking to do. And it's called the Annotated Sacred Scriptures, and it's from all the religions of the world, including worldly Christianity. All right, so let me read some things here to you. Let me get the right report. There we go. Now, even some of the Sunday keepers understand what is happening. Now, if you're wearing a hat, hold on to it. You won't believe this. This is called Spiritual Treason Sunday. Okay. Before we get there, let's come back to Mark, the 9th chapter, okay? Mark 9. Mark 9. Which also shows this. The Protestant churches who understand what is happening when I read this report, and they understand how it's going to come about, they're going to be confronted with a lot of decisions. Now, after Jesus healed this little boy, then Jesus, let's come here to verse 36. Then he took a little child and set him in their midst, and after taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever shall receive of such little children in my name receives me, and whoever shall receive me does not receive me only, but him who sent me." Then John answered and said, saying, "Master, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us." Notice Jesus' answer. But Jesus said, "Do not forbid him, for no one who does a work of power in my name can easily speak evil of me, and the one who is not against you is for you." Okay? So we have a situation, and we're going to see here in a little bit. Let's go right back there now. Jeremiah 23. We're just going to read one verse there. We'll come back to it a little later. Jeremiah 23. Let's see what God said concerning the prophets of Baal. And surely if they're Sunday keeping, they're worshiping on the day of the sun, so they're prophets of Baal, whether they like to admit it or not. But let's see how God views it. And then we will try and understand what this is that's taking place and how they're going to have some real decisions to make down the road here in the future. Okay? Let's pick it up here in verse 20. The anger of the Lord shall not return, because he's talking about all these false prophets who said, you'll have peace, no evil will come upon you, and so forth. He shall not return, anger of the Lord shall not return until he is executed, until he's performed the purposes of his heart. In the latter days you shall understand it perfectly. That's where we're living today. Now, verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Now notice verse 22, because this becomes very important. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, even though they're false prophets, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doing. Now, why is that? Let's come to Psalm 138. And the reason is this. Whoever speaks the truth of God, though maybe not all the truth of God all the time, but when something like this comes up and they speak the truth of God, God will honor it. But will the people hear it? See, that's the question. Now, the other day I was tooling through the, it was on Sunday, I was doing channel surfing, and I came across Robert Schuller of the Crystal Cathedral. Many remember that? Okay. They are in bad financial trouble, I'll have to say. And he started talking about his life being married 65 years, so that puts him probably up between 82 and 85. And he was admonishing everyone concerning the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. If anyone, even Robert Schuller, says, God says you shall not commit adultery, he will honor that. Now, it's the other things that he preaches that God won't honor. Okay? Now, he's not preaching to converted people. He is not preaching to those that God has called. He's preaching to carnal people in the world that want a religion to become better people. Now, with that said, let's come here to Psalm 138. Let's begin here in verse 1. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praise to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. For you have magnified above all your name and your word. So this helps explain, what did Jesus mean? If they're not against us, they're for us. On the parts that they are for us, that's good. On the parts that they are against God, like amalgamating all of the pagan holidays and things into the system, God's judgment and lack of blessing is upon them. So this gives us understanding that there are still some in a Protestant world out there who are still trying to hold to some basic teachings of the Bible. So here we get this warning. And I think it needs to be taken as judgment against all the Christian churches in the world. This is going to be a jaw-dropper. That's why they call it Spiritual Treason Sunday. Dozens of churches to read from the Quran this Sunday. Remember how many times I've said, we'll have to watch and see, how is it that the Muslims can be tamed enough to be brought into a one-world religion? Miracles, number one, will do it. Are they emotional and will accept an emotional judgment that those are true? And what if the imam says, Well, yes, that's great. We've been waiting for this. And by the way, there's a prophecy in the Quran about this. Quote, dozens of Christian churches from Park Hill Congregational in Denver to Hillview United Methodist in Boise, Idaho, and the First United Lutheran Church in San Francisco to St. Elizabeth's Episcopal Church in Honolulu are planning to send a message both here at home and to the Arab and Muslim world about our respect for Islam, with a time to read the Quran during worship this Sunday. Isn't that amazing? Some very interesting comments were made. Number one, when brethren driving down here to where we meet in Fairfield, there's a whole huge billboard which says, Islam, listen to the teachings of the God of Abraham and Christ and Mohammed. There is a big push, and where's this coming from? And that takes money to do that, right? Yes, indeed. See, with Christianity collapsing and falling on its knees, just exactly like what was his name? Buchanan, what's his first name? Pat Buchanan wrote the book, The Death of the West. They are sent as punishment to destroy Western civilization because they have rejected God. Okay? Now, the other comment was made, which is very interesting. Now, this man works in a Catholic hospital, and the Catholic priest of the hospital got different religions, including the Muslims, to come in and put their symbols in the Catholic chapel in the hospital, so that different people of different faiths could come into that chapel and they could worship their God. Does that sound like ecumenism or not? And who is it? Who is the leader of it? The Roman Catholic Church. Let me just state this. Who is the leader behind the scenes to destroy Protestantism from top to bottom? The Catholic Jesuits. They have succeeded in the United Kingdom, and the Church of England virtually no longer exists. Give you a little clue as to how it's going to happen. There was recently a church in Maryland that used to be Episcopalian, and they split off when they had the ordination of the homosexual bishop, who later married his lover and was still accepted as a bishop. That split the church. That served Rome because they want the Anglican church destroyed. They want all Protestantism brought to its knees so they will embrace the Pope. So guess what this church in Maryland did? Because the Catholic Church has given a dispensation for Anglican ministers who are married, they can become Catholic priests and still be married. So guess what? This Episcopal Church just went Catholic 100%. Now, I'll read a little bit about that in just a little bit. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back.